Activist Radio is on the air.
You've tuned into the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win.
You don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
Why is the state of Illinois kicking Christians out of foster care? And how can understanding that situation better help us understand the battle of abortion? I'm Seth Dreher, and I'm sitting in for Mark today on the Mark Harrington Show. And today I want to discuss this dangerous development that may be coming to a state near you. But before we dive too deeply into what is happening in the state of Illinois, I want to set the stage by taking you with me to Created Equals Outreach. Oftentimes, what we do at Created Equals is to go to college campuses, high schools, also downtown squares across the country to create debate about abortion. And not so long ago, this spring, we were at the University of Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. So if you imagine being at that scene with me, let's throw up the first picture we have there on site at Ohio University discussing abortion with college students. As I was doing this, we have the pictures of what abortion does to babies. One person asked me a question that we hear a lot, and that question was, why don't you take in all of the foster kids? Now, when I hear that question, first of all, we have to be clear about one thing. That question has no bearing upon the case against abortion. Last week on the Mark Harrington Show, we reviewed the case against elective abortion. And just as a brief summary, it's this. It is wrong to intentionally kill innocent human beings. Second, elective abortion does that. It intentionally kills innocent humans, and thus abortion is wrong, we conclude. Now, when someone says, well, why don't you take in all the foster kids? They're not dismantling the argument against abortion. They're attacking you. That's called an ad hominem fallacy, attacking the person, not the argument. But when this student asked me that on the campus of Ohio University, I responded by saying, actually, my wife and I are foster parents, so we have taken in children. And then I think he started to understand the irrelevance, but then I asked him a question. How many foster children have you taken in? His answer was zero. How many foster parents do you know? I asked him. His answer was zero. And as I asked him these questions in response, he again started to see how this was an irrelevant matter. But then this student countered with something else. He asked me, as a foster parent, though, do you indoctrinate the children in your home, your foster, with your religious views? And when he asked me that question, perhaps unbeknownst to him, he was tapping into a cultural phenomenon. He was really tapping into the zeitgeist, the spirit of our age, the ideas that are prevalent in society, which is a very dangerous one. And that is the idea that it's really a catch-22, an impossible situation where Christians are at the same time expected to take care of those in need, while at the same time they're excluded from being able to take care of those in need. It's really a great boon to the left. They can kick Christians out of the circle of those taking care of children and then blame Christians for not taking care of children. It's the most effective strategy at not only blaming Christians, but forcing them to not participate, for which you blame them. But so that takes us to what is happening in the state of Illinois. So let's just talk about what has happened recently in Illinois when it comes to foster care. Let's throw up slide number 2 there where we can see what is happening. In the state of Illinois, George Sheldon, the director of the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services, released this press release you're seeing now on your screen. In this press release, they detailed new mandatory minimum standards for the LGBTQ children under their authority. Now, George Sheldon, who released this press release, who signed these new policies for taking care of LGBTQ foster children, in just the last days, he has now resigned because of an unrelated ethics violation and controversy surrounding a child's death. But he did release these new procedures. And when he released these new procedures for minimum standards of foster care principles with taking care of LGBTQ youth, Mary Hassan, a writer for The Federalist, said that Illinois essentially, she summarized by saying, they have decreed their own truth and they're muzzling every other person who does not agree with their truth about the human person. Now, what does she mean by that? How are they muzzling Christians and people who have ideas out of the mainstream? Well, let's just talk briefly about what those procedures for foster care do in the state of Illinois. Now, as a side note, I hope and I think that we can all agree that all children, whether they be born or pre-born, their well-being, their being taken care of is vitally important. So we do think there should be minimum standards of taking care of all children, from whether you're an embryo or a toddler or a teenager. We should have procedures for taking care of you. But as Mary Hassan, the writer for The Federalist, said, the devil truly is in the details. Because when they get into what it means to take care of LGBTQ foster children, the way they say you must do that is in a way that would prevent many Christians from participating. So let's look at what the procedures are. Let's look at them, look at the appendices to the procedures for a moment. Let's throw up that slide, slide number 3. So here you can see where I'm not going to quote at length these procedures, but what you see in here is if you were to read, you can go online, read for yourself, Appendix K of these new procedures for taking care of youth in foster care in the state of Illinois. They mandate competency training. Competency training. They say that all staff, all providers, all foster parents must be culturally competent in serving the needs of LGBTQ children and youth. This comes from Appendix K, Section A. And again, that might sound good. We should be culturally competent. But what does it mean to be culturally competent? If you were to read in detail those procedures in Appendix K, you would see that being culturally competent means that in no instance should anyone who is a non-affirming caregiver have children in their midst. What does affirming mean? Affirming means acknowledging and supporting the individual's right to self-determination of gender and sexual orientation. So let's just summarize. What they're saying is, in order to be a foster parent in the state of Illinois, you must agree that you are affirming, that you think, that you agree with this new cultural dogma that every single human can determine for themselves whether they are a man or a woman, whether they are male or female. So this is the new mandated principle in the state of Illinois, but it's not just saying you have to be trained and agree with this and be affirming. They're saying if you are deemed not competent, you don't agree with this idea, you don't agree with this new dogmatic view in our culture, you can lose your license because this is now part of the ongoing foster care training. Furthermore, in the state of Illinois, if someone deems you as a foster parent to have some sort of bias based upon your religion influencing your views of gender, whether it is binary, whether it's on a continuum, if you're deemed as having a bias, children can be removed from your home. There's now an LGBTQ czar who can hear that you have bias and he can remove those children from your home because now he's supposed to be contacted immediately if you are deemed to have bias. Now, what does this mean for the Christian who is in foster care in the state of Illinois? Now they have to choose between being a state-respected foster parent and their religious views. So they're being pushed out of foster care in the state of Illinois. Now you might think, okay, this is kind of a side note, a bunny trail, this foster care, the gender continuum, gender binary debate is not a part of what Created Equal does. But the reason I want to comment on that this afternoon is the understanding the situation, the precarious position in which the state of Illinois has placed Christian foster parents helps us understand where we as Christians stand in the battle against abortion. Because there are three pretty big ways in which this battle in the state of Illinois, ground zero for the gender debate and for foster care, three big ways we can see in which that should give us insight into our own battle. And the first one is just the cultural intolerance, which has now become the greatest virtue. The greatest virtue in American society today is being intolerant. And this might surprise us because for over a decade, for many years, we've been hearing that we should tolerate all people. You should, being pro-choice is the right view because it's the tolerant view. That means you accept everyone's view. whether they support abortion or they oppose abortion, to be tolerant of all individuals is the right thing to do. But looking at the state of Illinois, we see that those who preach tolerance are actually the greatest intolerant individuals in our society. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, what is happening is, let's go back to Ohio University in your minds. Walk with me back to where I was on campus talking to that student. Now, he said to me, his implication when he said, "Do you force your views as a foster parent?" His implication to me was that I should not force my religious views. But I know there is something behind his behind what he said, and that is that he would have no problem with me forcing my views so long as what? So long as they are in line with the cultural mainstream. Because truly, this is not a debate about forcing views. The cultural mainstream believes in support and forcing views so long as you force their views. If I were to force views of gender being on a continuum, if I were to force views of abortion being a moral choice, if I were to force views that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a fantasy and not real, well then the left would have no problem with me sharing those views with my foster children as a foster parent. But truly what is happening here is they are intolerant. Tolerance means that you let me be in society. You agree. You admit, yeah, we disagree. You support abortion. I oppose abortion. And you let me live my views in society appropriately. That is tolerance, where you say, yes, I have a view. You have a different view. We disagree. Let's coexist. That's tolerance. But now coexistence means affirming, like they say in the appendices of these new principles for foster care in Illinois. Affirming means I say, I think something, you disagree, I agree with you, which really is silly. That means nothing anymore. There is no content. There's no meaning of disagreement. The new tolerance means you must affirm everyone's beliefs as equally valid. Otherwise, you are being a bigot. So that's what we are facing in the abortion debate. That's what foster parents are facing in the state of Illinois. So what does that look like for us? I told you about our scenario at Ohio University. Let me share with you another example of this new intolerance. What is happening on college campuses and in city squares, where people who have a certain view are forcing their view on other people. Let's leave Athens University and go instead to Westerville, Ohio, where there's a private university called Otterbein University. And this is a campus where we've had many instances where students are intolerant and where they go to try to censor our views because of their intolerance. Because like the foster system in Illinois, they can't abide and let Christians be in the system. They want to kick them out. Same at Otterbein. They wanted to kick Christians out on their campus who are opposing abortion. So what they did when we came there, when we've come there many times, is the students come out with their bed sheets and they try to cover our pictures of aborted babies. And I want to share with you a video where I approached a couple of these students asking them about their intolerance, about their censorship and why they were doing it. So let's go ahead and roll that video clip.
Hi, what do you think about censorship?
Censorship?
So what's going on right now? So you think we should censor gross things?
I don't know.
I mean, eighth grade, they showed us pictures of the concentration camps. The reason they took those photos, actually, because Eisenhower said people won't believe it unless we have photographic evidence. Took the photos. They show kids in middle school like me.
But it's weird that in middle school, we don't see the pictures of all the Japanese and internment camps in the United States and how many died there.
You don't like that they censored it?
Yeah.
But you're doing the same thing. You're censoring what's happening now.
But the difference between my censorship and governmental censorship is that I could take this down at any point if somebody might ask.
Sure. Would you take it down? Okay, I called your bluff though. You're not going to take it down.
So if you caught what was going on there, he was standing with his bed sheets hiding the pictures of aborted babies, and I caught him in his hypocrisy because he admitted, in his own words, what he was doing was censorship, but it was okay because it was censorship in line with his worldview. So again, we see the false tolerance going on. They say tolerate anyone so long as they agree with my worldview. So this great hypocrisy that is happening in Illinois is happening across America, where Christians are being pushed out of the marketplace of ideas because their views are deemed to be unfair, bigoted, and when they really are not bigoted. They're not unfair. They're a different view, a countercultural view, the countercultural view that abortion is wrong, the countercultural view perhaps that gender is binary, the countercultural view that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true, that he really did rise from the dead. If you have these countercultural views, you're being censored, pushed out of society. Now, Otterbein, after the students tried the bedsheet system, the student experience and campus climate committee went further to try to buy the public sidewalk to stop us from coming outside their campus to create conversation about abortion. They ultimately failed. It did not pass. They did not buy the sidewalk. But that shows you the lengths they were going to try to force their views, to try to prove their intolerance. And that intolerance has become a cultural virtue. And that's dangerous. But the second thing I want to glean from this situation in Illinois is what is happening where we see a rejection of objective reality that is very dangerous. Now, when it comes to abortion, most people, the Supreme Court decision that most people are familiar with is Roe versus Wade, 1973. We understand that that ruling tossed out all of the anti-abortion laws in states across the country and forced all states to accept abortion on demand. We're familiar with that. Maybe some of us know about Doe v. Bolton, the companion case passed down the same day, which defined the mother's health, essentially meaning that through all 9 months of pregnancy, if a mother has not only physical health problems, but familial health, economic issues, all of these reasons can justify her health as being a concern, and therefore she can have an abortion through all 9 months. Maybe we know that case, those laws, or those court decisions. Perhaps fewer of us know maybe about a 1992 decision, though, Casey versus Planned Parenthood. And I want to talk about this for a brief moment to show you how the same rejection of objective reality at play in Illinois is also at play in the abortion debate. Now, we don't have to understand too much right now about the Casey versus Planned Parenthood decision. I'll suffice it to explain that in Pennsylvania, there were new provisions about abortion in the state of Pennsylvania, and the Supreme Court was looking over these provisions, and they were upholding some Pennsylvania rules about abortion, and they rejected one, the spousal notification. They said essentially, you don't have to notify your spouse to have an abortion. But what really mattered here is that in the decision, which affirmed Roe versus Wade and also underscored viability as the principle, the time at which babies can be protected, viability meaning when you can take them out of the womb, put them in an incubator, they explained in their decision something quite dangerous. Justice Kennedy is the one who wrote the majority decision, and I wanted to share with you briefly something he wrote. He said in his decision, at the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of the mystery of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of human life. What he essentially said is, we're upholding abortion as legal because it is the heart of liberty. It's the heart of freedom for every single mother in America to decide for herself whether or not the fetus is human. You can't give any kind of scientific proof and say that objectively it's true, the fetus is a human. Every mother has a right to decide for herself whether or not that fetus is human. They rejected this notion of objective reality, that there's any way of really knowing whether that fetus is a human or not. The Supreme Court decision said, we know that everyone gets to decide. Don't give me any kind of scientific facts. Don't quote embryology textbooks. Don't tell me that every embryologist knows when human life begins, because it is at the heart of liberty for women to decide for themselves. That was a Supreme Court decision. Now, what did they do? They rejected objective reality. They said there's no scientific question of when life begins. It's up to everyone. They said it's a subjective notion, not an objective one. So again, in abortion, parents can decide for themselves, is that fetus human? That's their right to decide, not your right to inform with any objective evidence. It's up to them to decide. And that is echoed in the state of Illinois today as we're facing this crisis of foster care, and Christians decide, what can I do? Am I going to walk lockstep with them? Where am I going to hold to objective, to biblical Christianity? They're being forced into this question because Illinois is saying it is at the heart of liberty for every child to decide for himself or for herself their own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of human life. They get to decide whether they are a man or a woman. Don't appeal to them with any objective reality about what their anatomy looks like. It is up to each of them to decide. And not only is it up to them to decide, they're saying foster parents must affirm this. They must agree with this. They must affirm their children's fantasies or get out of the way. But what they should not do is appeal to any objective reality as they get questions from their foster children, as they face these difficult questions in their lives. So first of all, we saw that what is happening in Illinois is an elevation of intolerance as a virtue, where the state is saying that if you are a Christian and you do not, and you're going to use your religion to inform your parenting, get out. Secondly, we see that they're rejecting any appeals to objective reality, and this echoes the abortion debate, where we are told that where we are not tolerated if we say that abortion is objectively wrong. And we also see in the abortion debate that we're having a rejection of any appeals to objective reality, like when we appeal, as we did last week, to scientific evidence to prove the fetus is a human. But what's the third thing I want to glean from this? The third thing I want to glean is I think what we're seeing in the state of Illinois is the new Christian that would be accepted in society, and that is the new brand of Christianity, and that is truly a neutered Christianity. If you want to be accepted in society, if you want to be accepted and affirmed among all of the ranks of the gatekeepers, all you have to do is accept a neutered form of your religion. Now, why do I say this? Well, as we understand that cultural virtue of intolerance toward Christianity, toward those who have ideas apart from the cultural mainstream, as we see this elevation, this new dogma that everything is subjective, there's no objective reality, and every person should determine for themselves their own sense of meaning, this helps us understand that what Illinois wants to do is really just domesticate Christians along with their views of what is right and what is wrong. And so long as Christians walk along and say, okay, I'll follow your rules, I'll be domesticated, they can continue as foster parents. They can continue as people who are accepted in society. And that reminds me exactly of how we are treated as pro-lifers. I mean, as you know, if you introduce yourself to someone, they say, I don't know how this would come up right away in a conversation, but they say, are you pro-life or pro-choice? If you say I'm pro-life, they might not immediately shun you so long because your phrase pro-life is not offensive. Because if you define being pro-life to follow what they want pro-life to be, they'll accept you. If you accept a neutered form of being pro-life, they will say, yeah, that's fine. You can coexist in society. So what is that neutered form of being pro-life? It means essentially you really are pro-choice. You can share your views that abortion isn't good, but what you cannot do is say that your view that abortion is immoral is normative, that is true for all people. It is okay to hold a view in society, but once you say that your view is actually true in a real sense, that is what is not accepted. So to be a neutered Christian, that's accepted. To be a neutered pro-lifer, that's accepted. We can live peaceably in society so long as our Christianity, so long as our pro-life views are neutered and that we do not assert that they are in any way really true, or so long as we don't actually live as if those views are really true. People don't care right now if you sit at home and have views that abortion is wrong, but if you go to the sidewalks and you hold up signs and you try to talk to women going in, well, that will lead you into some trouble. Last year in Columbus, Ohio, we faced the city council in Ohio trying to force pro-lifers into the street off the public sidewalks, saying that you can't be there standing out in front if you're going to talk to women about abortion. If you're opposed to abortion, that is. If you support abortion, sure, you can be there. And we fought that clearly unconstitutional city council provision, that new piece of legislation. What happened was it was so clearly unconstitutional that even the Ohio American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU of Ohio, which normally is in lockstep with Planned Parenthood, even they had to say, you know what, this is not right. You can't have this provision. You can't force pro-lifers off the sidewalks. But they wanted to. And what they had to do was they were the ones, they lost that battle. They neutered their bill to essentially be redundant legislation banning already illegal things like criminal, like disorderly conduct on the streets. So we won that battle, but now we're facing it again in our own state, in the state house. House, where they are trying to pass a new House bill that would prevent pro-lifers from acting out their views, from being on the sidewalks and holding up signs and talking to women in a lovingly gracious way. We're not talking about harassing women. We're talking about reaching out to them with the truth of what abortion does to their kids and of what it could do to them. That's what they want to ban. So what we see here in the state of Illinois, again, is an elevation of this cultural virtue, this intolerance. We see this view also that there's a rejection of objective reality, the elevation of everyone gets to decide for themselves. And if you hold a different view, see your way on out. And lastly, we see this effort to neuter Christians of what is offensive about their views. Now, when I talk about this with other Christians, sometimes I'm told, you know, we should just set aside these offensive things, that abortion's wrong. We shouldn't talk about that. But Christianity is by its very definition offensive. To say that Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead, that's an offensive claim. Our religion is inherently offensive. We shouldn't add offensiveness with our nature. We should be kind and loving, gracious. But we should not remove the offensive content from our views. And what I hope we don't lose in all of this is we talk about foster care, the state of Illinois, we talk about abortion in America, we talk about youth in America who have really important questions. We should not lose sight of what I think brings us here, the knowledge that there are true victims. We who oppose abortion are told to stay quiet, stay out of the debate. This doesn't affect us. It's up to women to decide. Let them choose. But why do we refuse to be silent? Because we know there are real victims today, almost 2,500 in our country, being decapitated, dismembered, disemboweled. That's why we will not be quiet. Those who oppose the new cultural dogma that gender is on a continuum and everyone gets to decide what to do, we're told to keep quiet, that this doesn't affect those people. They're told to keep quiet, that they should stay out, leave everyone else alone. But why do they refuse to be silent? Because of the victims. Again, my wife and I, we're foster parents, but we would not be able to be foster parents in the state of Illinois because we would be deemed culturally incompetent based upon their definition of cultural competence. What would happen if there were a purge of all biblical Christians from the state of Illinois from foster care? Well, I don't know exactly what would happen, but I do think that something would happen if all Christians are seen out and they put a bar on the doors of Christian homes and say, don't send foster kids here. Many foster kids would suddenly be without a home. I don't know in the state of Illinois how many foster parents are Christians, but there have been some studies looking at foster care across the nation. And the Barna Group determined in a study that Christians are more than twice as likely to adopt as those who are not Christians. The general population, 2% of Americans adopt, whereas about 5% of Christians have adopted. If you look at the state of Michigan, not far from Illinois, there was the Journal of Sociology and Social Welfare did a study of Michigan foster parents and found that 77% of foster parents in Michigan are practicing Christians. If you extrapolate that to America, I don't know if we can do that, but if you were to imagine for a moment you could, there are currently nearly 430,000 children in foster care in America. 330,000 of them are in practicing Christian homes, based upon the stats from Michigan. What would happen to those over 300,000 kids who need a home right now if Christians were kicked out? Where would they go? That's a dangerous question you have to ask. I have to ask. The state of Illinois should be asking. And foster parents in Illinois who are Christians will be asking. But I want to leave you with a thought from Robert George, who is a professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University. And he recently commenting on this situation in Illinois, I want to comment at length from his comment on Facebook about this. He said the logic of this position, what's happening in Illinois, will take us quickly to the point at which children are removed from their parents' custody because parents refuse to bend the knee to sexual orientation and gender ideology. If we say devout Christian or Orthodox Jewish or Muslim couples are not fit to adopt children or provide foster care because they allegedly pose a danger to children whose sexual orientation or gender identity they do not affirm, then these couples pose the same threat to their biological children. There's no way around this logic, none. You buy the premise, you own the conclusion. You yield to the premise, you refuse to oppose it. If you decline to stand up to those who push it, The conclusion will soon be here, with the full coercive power of the state enforcing it. There is true danger at risk here. We're not just blowing the trumpet, blowing the horn, saying tomorrow they're coming for your children. But we, if we are not engaged in this battle now, in foster care, not only in taking in children, but fighting efforts to push Christians out of it, if they can, in the state of Illinois, take children out of homes who are deemed culturally incompetent based upon their narrow-minded view of gender, if we allow that, what will stop? How can we stop them when they try to do the same thing to parents who are culturally incompetent to teach their biological children? These are the dangers at play in the debate today. Not only in foster care, not only abortion, these are the dangers at play in America. We are fighting against the cultural, this new virtue of intolerance. We're fighting against this rejective, objective reality. We are fighting for the right to act out our faith because to refuse as this uterus for life. We're doing all of this because we know that every child, born, pre-born, no matter what their issues may be, no matter what their questions may be, whether they're black or white, rich or poor, we know that every single human being is created equal. That's why we fight. That's why Mark will be here again at 1 o'clock next week. Please continue to join him. Join us in this effort to defend the notion that all humans matter.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net, createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.